Good morning. Oh, that was good. How's everybody doing? There we go. Some enthusiasm. Some expected enthusiasm. Well, I'm doing well as well this morning. I enjoyed our drive down. I got to see some pretty cool skies. Enjoyed the cool weather. This is my kind of favorite time of year. I love the crisp air. Some of us from the early service were saying that they wished it was summer again. That's okay. You're forgiven. This morning we're going to continue our series on happiness. And our kind of core idea for this series about happiness is this: my happiness should be driven by my habits, not my circumstances. And this morning, we're going to look at this idea from this point of view that there are things you can do every day, that there are daily habits that you can begin to build into your life that can cultivate happiness. That just like a farmer who goes out every day and does tasks, has habits, you can too have habits in your life that you do daily to cultivate happiness. And we're going to be looking today, continuing through Philippians. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3. So if you have a Bible with you, you can go ahead and open your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at the entire chapter. So I'm not going to read it for you, because that would take long enough. But I do want you to remember that as we're talking about the scripture today, that you remember that these words are the very words of God. That this piece of scripture that we're looking at are the very words of God. And we're going to be looking at the whole chapter, and I've kind of broken down the chapter into three kind of sections. And we're going to be looking at three kind of core verses, one for each section. The first section kind of surrounds verse 9. The second section surrounds verse 14. And the last section kind of surrounds verses 20 and 21. So as we walk through today, those are kind of the verses that should stick out to you, that if you want to mark them down so you can kind of go back to them and remember kind of how these verses maybe fit together with this idea of cultivating happiness. And our anchor verse for the entire passage is, in fact, verse 1, where Paul says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." This idea of rejoice, this idea of find happiness, find joy in the Lord. And Paul, in a relatively typical Paul fashion, makes this statement and then like almost deviates from it and like goes on a tangent and talks about all this stuff. But it actually kind of ties back in. Paul does this a lot. And he kind of pushes all these things together to describe this idea of rejoicing in the Lord. And then kind of finishes with the beginning of chapter 4. So this morning, we're going to be looking at these three sections. Our core verses are verse 1, verse 9, verse 14, and verses 20 and 21. And the things we're going to be looking about is how we rejoice in the Lord daily. And the way we're going to look at this is we're going to look at it from this perspective, that we're going to rejoice in what the Lord has done, we're going to rejoice in what He is doing, and we're going to rejoice in what He's going to do. And we're going to try and build out some habits and some thoughts and some ideas and things you can do every day to begin to understand more and more how to rejoice in what God has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do. And to do that, we're also going to look at a farmer, just a regular farmer, a good farmer. Now, I'm not a farmer. I've never farmed. I've played Farmville, which I don't know if that's really the same thing. But we're going to try and look at a farmer. We're going to look at how a farmer acts and what he thinks about every day in the hope that we can learn something about how we should cultivate happiness in our own lives. And there's some interesting things about this farmer. It could be any one of you, right? There's all sorts of different stages in life that you guys are at. You know, some of you have planted and harvested before, both maybe literally or metaphorically. Sometimes the farmer has had something in the ground for a while and he's waiting for it to sprout. Or he has plants that are already thriving. Maybe he owns an orchard and there are trees that live for years and years that he's working on and cultivating and making sure they're healthy. Maybe he probably, if he's a good farmer, knows what the fruit that his plants are going to produce. He knows what it looks like. He knows how it should look at different stages of growth. He probably knows what it tastes like and how it should maybe even taste at different stages of growth. Maybe this farmer has a lot of experience. Maybe he's doing it for years and years. Or maybe he's just starting. Maybe he's learned from another. Maybe his dad used to farm. Or maybe he's new. Maybe this is a new thing and he's starting out. Many of you are in these kind of different stages of your walk in following Jesus. And some of you may not have even had started that walk with Jesus. And if that's the case, then this whole idea of like cultivating joy in the context of a relationship with God is not going to make a whole lot of sense. But the good news is that there is a first step you can take at this very moment. The reality of the situation is that God wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you so much that he sent his only son to die a terrible death on the cross, a death that we, as enemies of God, deserve, so we could come into a real relationship with him. That Jesus did what we deserved, that he took the punishment that we deserved. He lived a perfect life, one undeserving of death, and then died on the cross and rose again, proving that he was actually God. That through faith in him, we could come to know God as well. That we could experience eternal life. That we could begin this process of cultivating good fruit in our lives. Fruits like joy that leads to happiness. And so if that's you this morning, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, if that's something that like is starting to tug at your heart, if you're interested in that, there's a little card that you can check a box on, or you can come talk to me, or you can come talk to Jesse after the service, or any of the elders, or maybe even just the person right next to you, and be like, hey, I don't really get this whole Jesus thing, but I want to know more. So this morning, we're looking at Paul. We're thinking about how we rejoice in the Lord and the things that God has done, that he is doing, and that he will do. We're looking at the farmer to try and learn how to build daily habits. And our first kind of idea, our first daily habit that we can begin to build out is this idea of relaxing or relax in what God has done. If you have your sermon notes from the bulletin, that's by that first blank. Relax in what God has done. Like I said earlier, our core verse for this idea is verse 9, which is on the next page of my Bible. Verse 9, and this is Paul talking. He says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness for my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And this is kind of the middle of a sentence. So if you read the previous verse or the previous sentence, it might begin to make more sense. But I'm going to build it out for you as well. Paul starts this section of Scripture talking about the life that he used to live before he was a follower of Jesus. He talks about this idea that he was a Hebrew among Hebrews, that he knew the law so well. Paul had phenomenal habits. He would put us all to shame when it comes to discipline and being disciplined and having habits every day. And Paul looked at those habits and he said, these are worth nothing compared to Jesus. And so as we begin to talk about habits this morning, as you've talked about habits these last couple weeks, as you will talk about habits over the next 2 weeks and finish this series on happiness, I want you to keep in mind, especially this morning, that fundamentally your habits will not save you. Paul says, your habits will not give you righteousness. They will not make God love you more. And if fundamentally, in and of themselves, they will not change your life. At least, not necessarily in the way you might really want it to. that these habits are designed to allow God to enter into your life and begin to change you. That as you walk through your day, as you move through these things, as you do habits, if God is not a part of that, Paul uses some really strong language that our English versions hedge a little bit on when he talks about his habits compared to the surpassing knowledge of Jesus. And so as we're walking through these things, remember that just doing it isn't going to change your life. That God has to be a part of it. And the farmer knows this as well, right? A farmer can do everything right. He can be the best farmer in the world when it comes to fertilizing, when it comes to pruning, when it comes to taking care of plants and watering them. And yet still, something can happen. Plague could come. Too much sun, too much rain, too little rain. Bugs. A good farmer knows, a good farmer who believes in Jesus especially knows that something else has to go on for him to get a crop. And the same thing applies to our lives. That when we begin to build daily habits, Jesus and God have to be involved for us to actually see fruit. And that's the wonder of this gospel, this idea, this good news that we presented. And this is what makes us relax when we can think about what God has already done. Because the reality of our lives is we go through our days and it's hard. That our habits cannot sustain us. We need something else to come along. And one of the ways, one of the habits that you can begin to find happiness in this day-to-day goings-on is to remember what God has already done in your life. The farmer remembers the crop that he got last year. The farmer remembers that he has fruit stored so that when things are rough, he can go back to that fruit and find joy in it. What's really neat about this too, this illustration of farming, is that in our lives, happiness, it's fleeting. Right? It can be dependent on our circumstances. That's why we have this whole main idea that our happiness should be driven by habits, not by circumstances. So when we go through life and God brings happiness and joy into our lives, we can do like the farmer and begin to store it up. Now, as human beings, but I think particularly Westerners, we're very bad at this. We like to go fast. We don't record things very well. We're not very good at journaling, more than likely. We don't keep very good records that actually like mean deeply to us sometimes. And so I would encourage you, in part of this daily habit of remembering what God has done, take time to store up memories to remember, right? Because the reality is that happiness doesn't last in and of itself. But when you can take that happiness and you can preserve it, just like a farmer takes his crop and begins to preserve it, he makes jams or you know, like little dried pieces of fruit, so too you can take these happinesses of your situation that God brings in and begin to understand them and store them so you can come back later and enjoy them. Just like a farmer, remembering what God has done in your life before. And this idea of habitually storing what God is bringing brings us kind of to this next section, this new way to rejoice in the Lord that we can do every day. And our core verse for that is verse 14. It says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul talks about this idea of pressing on. This idea of running a race with endurance. He looks at his time on earth and he says, this is hard, I must press on. And I think the way that he does that, he looks heavenward. He says, I am going to look at what God is doing. And that's our second blank on there. That's our second idea. That's our second habit for days. Work with God in what he is doing. Work with God in what he is doing. Because the reality is, God is working. Whether you see it or not, whether you understand it, whether you're a part of it, God is working in your life, and he's working in the people around you. He's working through this city, this town, this county, this whole area. And God wants you to partner with him to do that work. And so every day, begin to build this habit of seeking God, seeing where he's working, and working with him. The farmer, he does the same thing. The farmer has tasks that he does every day. He builds habits to do these tasks no matter the progress that he sees. Because when we go through our lives, we may, you know, seek God, we may pray really hard, we may receive, like, whether it's like, oh, this thought that comes into my head, or like, oh, this person that crosses my path, or this thing that somebody else says, we may receive some work from God to do. And we may go out and we may be obedient, we may be brave, we may go out there and we do that work and see no fruit. We may go out there, we may have great habits, we may have fantastic devotional time, have super good conversations with your coworkers who don't know Jesus, and not see fruit that day. And that's how farming works. You go out every day, day after day, the sun comes up till the sun goes down, doing these things over and over again, maybe seeing no progress. You know, food takes a long time to grow. And it's something that I'm learning in my own life. I'm really bad at this. I love to see progress. If I don't see progress, like, I get stuck. I get frustrated. I want to see it now. But God's asking us to be dedicated, to form habits, to work with him, to find joy in working with him, not in the results. How many of you make to-do lists? I make to-do lists. How many of you make to-do lists to make a to-do list? Okay. I do this, right? I make a list in my mind, and like the first thing on the list is to make a list. How many of you get to the end of the day and your to-do list isn't done? Okay, yeah? How does that make you feel? Right? How does it make you feel to see no progress? Find joy in working with God, not in seeing fruit. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to this idea of finding joy in what fruit looks like. Find joy in working with God every day. Make it a habit to seek him, to live courageously and in obedience, that you might know him more and find this joy. And this idea of fruit, man, is a good thing. Any of you who have gone to HEB, brought home fresh fruit, or even gone out and picked it, gone out and like picked fresh strawberries, isn't that like one of the best things to eat, fresh strawberries? It is so good. It is so full of happiness. And this is how our lives work metaphorically as well. That we can harvest this fruit, and we can go into our storehouses and eat that's what we stored, and we can harvest the fresh fruit and eat it that day in our work. But what brings great joy as well is thinking about what that fruit is going to taste like in the middle of the sweat of the day. That every day you can walk into that day going, God, I want to work with you. God, I remember what you have done, and it brings me such joy. And God, I know you're going to accomplish a great task. And I am happy about that. That as we begin to do these things, God begins to change our vision. We begin to see how he's working. We begin to see him work and accomplish tasks, to find fruit, to grow fruit, to begin to harvest. And we begin to see the kingdom come. We begin to see what the kingdom looks like, a place where there is no sadness, where happiness is always true. And Paul talks about this, our core verses 20 and 21. But our citizenship, and he's talking to the church at Philippi, so those who believe in Jesus and follow him and trust him for our righteousness, for our salvation, the trusting him to make us right with God that we might have a relationship. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they might be like his glorious body. Paul gives us a glimpse of what God is going to do. And our third habit, anticipate what God is going to do. Paul talks about it even earlier. He says he's going to keep his eye on the prize, keep his eye heavenward. Paul pounds this idea home throughout his letters, this idea of looking forward, anticipating, enjoying what God is going to do. That as we're working day by day and maybe not even seeing progress, we can look forward and find joy in what God is going to do. We know that it's coming. And Paul, too, he talks about this idea of following the examples of others. Sometimes what we can see, how we can anticipate what God is doing, is by looking at those around us who maybe are a little further ahead. That we can look at the example that they're setting. Just like a farmer who learns from his father or learns from a mentor, we too can learn from a mentor and learn about what God is bringing in, what God is going to do. Paul also kind of follows up with the verses before 20 and 21. He talks about this idea of not necessarily comparing yourself to people who don't believe like you. People who, Paul says, are enemies of God. He says that they worship their stomachs. Again, a very American thing for us to worship our stomach, whether that's literally that we eat what we want to eat and don't really care, or just our desires, our instant gratification. That a farmer has to learn how to deal with those times when he's not bringing in a harvest. And we too have to look forward to what's coming, not short-circuit it by grabbing and eating what we want. There's great joy. I know for me, this is a big part of how I find joy. There's great joy in looking forward. Like a farmer, he goes out every day. Maybe he has fruit stored. So he remembers maybe on a daily basis what the fruit's going to taste like, what that harvest is going to look like. But he looks forward to that day. That's why Thanksgiving exists. Well, part of the reason. It's that harvest feast. It's a great celebration. And, you know, even now, we look forward to Thanksgiving. In the same way, look forward to that day when your life will be changed completely. And what's neat is a farmer, when we talked about this earlier, that he has to go out, he goes out into his field, he puts in all this hard work, and he doesn't know what his harvest is going to look like necessarily before it comes. He doesn't know exactly how much fruit he's going to get. It could be a good year or a bad year. Maybe he sees signs. He doesn't really know until it happens. We know. As followers of Jesus, we know what's coming. And that is so good. Get excited about knowing this goodness. It is assured. You can look forward with joy, anticipating what God is going to do. I encourage you every day, build into your life this idea of anticipating what's coming. Whether that's when Jesus comes back, may it be soon, or the next day. Look forward to a new day, a new sunrise, a new opportunity to work with God, because he's going to be there. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in what God has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. Rejoice, for it's good and will bring you happiness. Let's pray. Thank you.